Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
This is my last show. Not forever. Don't get excited. Or don't go off the deep end. My last show in studio until the middle of May. So when I walk out of here in 3 hours, I better have everything I need because I'm not coming back. I do have one more show before vacation, and that will be Monday night into Tuesday, which is good. We may have some more definition of the second round in both hoops and hockey, though I'll miss a good portion of the second round in both hoops and hockey, but it feels like a good time to bow out for a couple weeks. I always miss the studio and the process. I always miss not just the pressure that comes with doing national radio, but also the excitement. I think the adrenaline rush. It still happens for me every night. I feel the butterflies right before I turn on the microphone. But it's also good to go away. For those of you who heard my conversation with Val Ackerman, the Big East commissioner, former WNBA president, former president of USA Basketball. She's a Hall of Famer. She's got a list of lifetime achievement awards that is longer than the number of states I've visited. Anyway, she's awesome. And at the end of hearing all about the Big East and its plans and what they do next and where they go next, and that conversation is on both Twitter and Facebook, the link. Plus, you could find it just by Googling Amy Lawrence Val Ackerman podcast. At the end of it, I asked her, what do you do for fun? And there was a pause and she kind of laughed and said, that's a good question. Ultimately, as she was telling me some of the activities that she and her family enjoy doing together, she said, I'm a big believer. And she was talking about how challenging it is to work in an industry like college sports right now, and really sports in general. They can be all-consuming. As you know, if you listen to the show long enough, you recognize sports never stop, ever, which is why it's okay to take a vacation. I'll come back and a lot of the storylines will be exactly the same as when I left. Although somebody's going to have to let me know if Ipe Mitsuhara actually ends up in jail. I digress. She said to me, what I've discovered and what I've learned is that you can't be at 100% capacity on the job if you're never at 0% capacity. Meaning if you never get away from it, if you never take a break, well, then you're not going to be 100% when you are in the office. You'll eventually get run down, burnt out, disillusioned, maybe bitter. So when students ask me, too, about taking vacations, or I have young broadcasters that I mentor, and they're afraid to go away, a little bit of FOMO, but a little bit of feeling like I can't. I have to prove to everyone that I can go, 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 go. And I get that when you're younger, you're trying to prove yourself. But I am a big believer in time away. whether it's vacation or a long weekend, you don't necessarily have to go anywhere to recharge. But recharging is important because you'll run out of everything you need. Passion, enthusiasm, energy. You'll run out of that determination and commitment if you never take a break to get recharged, refilled, if you will. And in addition to always taking a vacation in May, or at least since I moved to this particular gig, it's time for a honeymoon. It's past due for a honeymoon. Let me just tell you, we've been lamenting the fact that other than our 2 days on the lake following the wedding, we really haven't had a break at all since we, we did the quick weekend jaunt to Niagara Falls, but we haven't had a break at all. I had to work from there, actually. I had to do a couple of features, and then we went straight to Syracuse. So it's time to get away for a couple of weeks and enjoy our time together. And we're really excited about it. We've been counting down the days. I have the Delta app on my phone, and we booked the outbound flights through Delta. So we've had the countdown going, gosh, since before we got married. He's just got a regular old phone app that gives you a countdown. So we're pretty thrilled, especially since it's Hawaii and we've never been there before. So my last show in studio until the middle of May, maybe this time tomorrow, I'll be asking you for your Hawaii suggestions. We're doing Honolulu for just a couple of days. It's really quick there, 48 hours. And then we are on to the Big Island, which is where we'll spend the majority of our time. My brother's family was just there last year at this time, and they have loaded us up with suggestions and just can't wait for us to get there and see how we feel about it. But also, actually, our assistant program director here at the network, he's done a ton of vacations. He and his wife make the Big Island their, I think, one of their annual destinations. And so he has also got recommendations. And I know that my uncle and my aunt used to live in Hawaii. I'm not sure which island, though. I'm pretty sure my uncle was in Honolulu and my aunt maybe in Maui. Anyway, so they're going to, you know, they were different places, but they've also vacationed a lot there too. So maybe I'll take your suggestions. We're going non-touristy for the most part, kind of tooling around and exploring by ourselves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. In addition to being excited about the trip and a new adventure, I'm pretty excited about not having to commute into New York City for 2.5 weeks. Jay, try not to be jealous.
It's too late. I am.
We know so many people who don't bother to come to the office or who prefer to work from home. That's not me, but I will not lie and tell you that I love the commute, because I do not. And it's expensive as hell. Oh my gosh.
Got that right. It's going to get more expensive too.
Right. About to get more expensive. And so we're always looking for days where we don't have to commute. That's terrific. But yeah, a break from social media as well, other than maybe one or two photos to start the trip just to say, hey, we made it. That's it. I think I'll have a hard time not sharing a photo of me swimming with dolphins. But I really do want to spend the majority of the 2 weeks off social media. Not off the phone, but got to stay connected with moms and the families. But for sure, 2 weeks off social, doesn't that sound like heaven?
Yes. You could take all the photos and then just share them, you know, when you get back.
After the fact, right? Oh. Okay, I'm focused. I'm focused on sports.
That's tough to do.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, and the phone number is 855-212-4227. Still to come on this show, a record-setting draft weekend for Detroit. I think Detroit is the new standard. As much as I love the NFL's idea of moving it around and appealing to different cities, different fan bases, man, it's going to be hard to top what Detroit brought in terms of excitement and pomp and circumstance and just rolling out the red carpet. Showing up and making noise. So I loved what we saw from Detroit. We'll get there. The Eagles made history. And we're hearing more from the Atlanta Falcons about what I think is the surprise of the draft still. Yes, the 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. The stakes are higher than ever. But for Michael Penix to go off the board that early and to a team that had just committed $100 million and guaranteed $180 million to Kirk Cousins, I wonder what this means about his contract. Right? And there's nothing in the NFL rules that guarantees you anything beyond the guaranteed money. A team can cut you just to get under a salary cap. It's a thing in the NFL. We know all the time. So maybe Kirk Cousins and most players, I would say, are not under any illusions they'll live out the life of their contract, especially when they get to be older and the contract's expensive. Now, many guys renegotiate contracts. They get a little more guaranteed money, but they have to take less upfront type of a thing. So I don't know that Kirk and his team believed that they would play the entire contract. However, it's got to be a little bit disconcerting because here's the thing. Kirk was signed by the Falcons for 4 years. The $100 million is guaranteed, but the whole contract is worth $180 million. And I'm not poo-pooing the $100 million, only to say that if he played through the 4 years, he'd get nearly double that. So the contract was worth nearly double. But if you select Michael Penix in the first round of the NFL draft, number one, you're paying him a lot of money too as the contract goes into year 3 and 4 of his rookie deal. There is an option for year 5 when you're a first round pick. But also, you don't want him to sit there for 4 years. And then if he does sit there for the next 4 years, how do you have any idea whether or not you should pick up the 5th year of his deal? So that's the writing on the wall for Kirk Cousins. And this is assuming Kirk stays healthy for these next 4 seasons. There is no way he's still the quarterback of the Falcons after 3 years, and maybe not even after 2. So I believe that they'll keep him around again, unless he doesn't stay healthy or Michael Penix just dazzles. But how will you know that if you don't see him on the field? This is what happened with Jordan Love. As much as the Packers continue to get high quality and for the most part wins, not that last year with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but before that, the 2 MVPs, the 3 consecutive 13-win seasons, it was hard for them to quit him because they were winning and they were still a championship contender of sorts. But they had to figure out what Jordan Love was all about and if he could handle being on the big stage and being an NFL starter. And you remember the first half of last year with Jordan Love? It took some time. It took some time for him to get comfortable. It took some time for the receivers, the offense, the coaches, everybody to get in sync. But once they did, they were off like a shot. And now no one is questioning if Jordan Love is the right guy for the Packers and whether or not they made a mistake. I mean, stupid now. But the thing is, nobody knew. Packers didn't know enough. We didn't. They were confident in him, but they needed to see him on the field for a full season. We didn't know, which is why the speculation. We just hadn't seen enough of him. So now use that example or that situation, that exhibit A, if you will, as kind of a potential scenario that the Falcons will deal with. You know what you have in Kirk Cousins. Maybe he leads you to a couple of playoff appearances, maybe beyond that. The NFC South is wide open. Sorry, Baker. Certainly the Bucs are the team to beat, but it's not like it will take some epic effort to unseat the Bucs. So the NFC South is wide open. At this point, he becomes a quarterback who's stepping into a role where they feel like they're tailor-made for postseason. They're ready-made, if you will. Yes, the Saints have Derek Carr, and maybe it's better in year 2. I wouldn't put it past them. But they're missing pieces around him, too. They've got a Chris Olave. And I know that Well, I believe that. We can expect something better in year two. If Alvin Kamara can stay on the field, that's a big deal. And they were above 500. So we'll say that they're roughly even with the Buccaneers. Also with the Falcons, until you bring in a Kirk Cousins and the pieces they have around him. Raheem Morris, people are psyched for him to get another head coaching job. Anyway, all that to say, the division is winnable. But if you keep him around for 2 years, at some point you're going to need to know what you have in Michael Penix. Same thing as the Packers had to rip off the bandage. They had to. And Aaron Rodgers made it a little easier for them. I hate to say it, but in many cases, he'd worn out his welcome there just with his toot. Bums. Right? I mean, Packers fans were more than willing to say, hey, Aaron, thanks for everything, but don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
I don't think so.
You can't cancel me. Except the Packers, they were okay with letting him go.
Animals.
Now, I don't think Kirk Cousins wears out his welcome. Cousins is not that type of a dude. He doesn't create controversy. The players in the locker room love him. He's a huge goofball. He works hard. Remember the quarterback series? He gets beat up. Takes hits and just gets up and keeps working. He's got a real good heart and lots of character. Most guys who play with him have good things to say, fond memories. So he's not going to give the Falcons a reason to bench him, barring injury. But in order for them to know if Michael Penix is the real deal, they're going to have to let him play, and not just in the preseason. All right, so we'll hear more from the Falcons. I got passionate. I got fired up about that. Also, Marvin Harrison Jr. on his new quarterback. Caleb Williams with a couple of, I think, interesting revelations. Things I'd not heard from before from the former USC quarterback and overall number one pick. Oh, JJ and JJ. It's a thing now. I wonder how the other JJ. No, which one's the other JJ? That's the thing. If you're in Minnesota and you're Justin Jefferson, are you bulking a bit at the fact that there's another JJ and that's actually his name? It's not his nickname, but it's his name. It's what he goes by. So is it JJ1 and JJ2? It's like in Green Bay, Aaron and Aaron. And goodness, Aaron Jones had a better year, I guess, going back to this. Was it the first MVP? When did Jones have 20 touchdowns? Was that 20 or 21? Either way, the other Aaron was winning MVPs, and it was Aaron Jones who was really doing the bulk of the work. So I think that if you're JJ, as in Justin, you're a little you're meh on the other JJ who just comes riding into town and steals the nickname, steals the space.
Got to earn that one.
I mean, that's his name. What else are you going to call him? McCarthy?
Guy.
Mac? Guy. Hey, Rook. How about that? All right.
You.
Yo. Bro. Bruh.
There you go.
Brah. I don't know which one would be appropriate in that situation because I'm so not cool.
I think bro for that one.
You think bro?
Yeah, for now. You got to earn the more endearing one.
Which is bruh?
Yeah.
Or bra? No,
well,
bra.
Depends, actually.
See, this is ow! I just hit the microphone with my finger. This is what I run into every time. The topography changes underneath my feet. I think I got it, and then all of a sudden, it feels different.
What's down there now?
Right now, it's bruh. No, it's bra. Bra is the negative one. No. No, I take that back. I don't know.
Well, they can be. It depends on the inflection, really.
Does it?
Right.
Okay.
Like, bruh. Like, that means, like, what are you doing? But, like,
bruh. Well, you should have seen Jay's eyebrow go up when he said bruh. Bruh.
Bruh.
Hey, yo,
what's
bruh.
What's going on here? So.
When was the last time you actually used that, though?
I don't know. And, like, actually meant it. I don't know. I've said it, like, jokingly, like, bro, like, what are you doing? But
bro.
Never, like, actually, like, seriously, like, meant to say
it. Wait,
that.
What? KD say when he was talking to the reporter? I think he said bro.
I think he said bro.
Did he? He likes to use those. We should
come on,
learn.
Bro.
No, not that one. The actual one in which he addressed the reporter who asked him about his motivation. That I feel like will give us some clues about the proper usage and inflection.
For me? Individually? I live and breathe, bro.
Bro, see, I told you. I told you it was bro. Bro's not a positive. Bro is a, I'm kicking you while you're down and throwing you under the bus.
He could have went with a bro there, though.
A bruh?
Yeah, like okay. In the drop. Like, he could have went with that one there, because that's, like, I feel like would have worked almost better, actually.
Oh, you think so?
Would have been a little, sound a little more snarky, which is what he was going for. So.
Oh, he was salty. That is faux show. Bro. I'm such an idiot. Okay, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Patrick, we'll get to your phone call. We don't call people names around here. Everything you needed to know, you learned in kindergarten.
He's an idiot.
Okay. On to it. Let's stick a sock in it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. We're glad to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do, we won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He says low, I think high. That's how I am with seedings during March Madness. Are you a high seed or a low seed if you're in the single digits? Raheem Morris and Michael Penix, the Atlanta Falcons, do shock the world with that number 8 pick in the 2024 draft going back to Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And, hey, I was just talking about the Green Bay Packers, and Morris admits that Green Bay served up a model.
Green Bay model was something that we talked about, and it's been proven to be right last year. So hopefully we'll be right with them.
Referring to Jordan Love, they love the Green Bay model. And it was proved to be right. But what about Kirk Cousins? I know he gets the guaranteed money, but he's a guy who still wants to start.
It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, whatever the case may be. But he's a competitor, just like us all, and you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
I believe Kirk Cousins will remain professional, more so than even Aaron Rodgers. Though I suppose in season and with Jordan Love, we didn't hear any complaints. He was professional with Jordan. Remember how Ryan Tannehill got all the grief for saying that he was not supposed to be a mentor, that his job wasn't to mentor a young quarterback? At the time, it was Malik Willis, right? Now it's Will Levis, who's taken over that job. Not Malik, but back-to-back years, they end up drafting quarterbacks. Will's the one that worked. No, it's not your job. And I can understand why any veteran would not want to groom and train and prepare his or her replacement. You never know, though. It might ingratiate you to the franchise a little more. I think that if Michael Penix is worthy of the number 8 pick, he'll be soaking it all in and paying attention anyway, and it won't matter that Kurt actually helps him.
I don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
Now, if Kurt got hurt, then would he care enough about the team if Penix was thrust into duty to actually prepare him for games? Now, that's a different story. Although it might hasten his being replaced. 855-212-4227. Philly Mac is in Massachusetts. What do you think about Cousins and Penix?
Amy, it's been a year and a half since the last time I talked to you.
Oh, I can't believe you're keeping track, but I've missed
you,
of course.
It's been a long time, yeah, yeah. It was just after your grandmama and all that thing you're going through, and I've been pretty crazy. But what I'm thinking about is if the Atlanta Falcons bring in a legit veteran who works on the left side of the line, who's willing to take a role and maybe coach up, like you were just saying just before you put me on, and the guys in the draft, I think they have a legitimate chance to do something good.
So you think they still need more than what they have?
The left side of that offensive line is not consistent. But if they bring it there, maybe they get a good chance.
All right. I do think that in their division and in the fact that, you know, he stays in the NFC, he goes from the Vikings to the Falcons, he knows the NFC well, and the NFC is more wide open than is the AFC.
Yep. And by the way, congratulations on what you guys and your husband last year. Congratulations, my friend.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Patrick, who's in Atlanta. Patrick, welcome to After Hours.
You know, I called in to talk to you about your honeymoon, but I'm a huge Atlanta fan. So I got to tell you, Amy, going into the weekend, into yesterday, specifically, I was a glass half empty kind of guy. But the more research I've done on some of these defenders that Atlanta picked up, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I like Penix, the player. Mm-hmm. I don't like him at 8. But you know what? I just hope that I just look at it this way. A lot of the staff that's with the Falcons now were with the Rams last year, and they picked a couple of guys late in the draft on defense with the Rams, and two of those guys teamed up for double-digit sacks. So if we can get that in Atlanta, I know we got the kid out of Oregon. Mm-hmm. They said he, in the 50-some-odd games he played, had the most pressures in all of FBS. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of players that they've drafted who are the most this or the most that, including right. Penix. And I think one of the things that I love about Penix is he's not a kid. He's 23 years old. He had multiple different experiences in college because of, you know, following Chris Beard to Washington. And I agree with you. He might have been available a little bit lower down, but according to the Falcons, this was the guy they wanted. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to take any quarterback that's available at number 8. We're going to take the next best guy. No, they actually wanted Penix, and they weren't comfortable leaving him out there when they had the chance to grab him for their future. But yeah, the nearly 5,000 yards passing, the really high completion percentage at, you know, better than 65%. He's a lefty, only had 11 picks last year in an offense that threw a lot. Pinpoint accuracy. There's a ton to appreciate about him, even in its raw talent form.
Yes, ma'am. And so real quick, for your honeymoon,
yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you guys are going to wing it. We actually did a tour with a couple of guys that were local and learned a lot. It's kind of wild that when you go to we went to Pearl Harbor, and we found out that Japanese people actually outnumber Americans in Hawaii 2-1. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting being surrounded by Japanese folks there.
At Pearl Harbor?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The number one meat in Hawaii is spam.
What?
Actually, you go to McDonald's there for breakfast, can get a spam McGriddle.
Whoa.
Or a spam McMuffin.
I wonder why. Do you think it's because it's easy to pack and ship?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. The Japanese people love it. And every meal at McDonald's comes with a little side of pineapple. So that's kind of cool.
That is interesting.
Two pieces of advice. If you go to Diamond Head, the dormant volcano, and actually are going to go up it, it's really cool. Take bug spray. The higher up you go, the little gnats are really annoying.
Really? So tell me, is it worth the hike? Because my husband and I love to hike. We're taking our hiking boots.
It is.
Okay, good. We'll plan that then.
And then you'll have to ask where on that tour they took us to. It's considered a national park. There's parking area, you know, like a national park. But when you go up these stairs, you see a crevice. Mm-hmm. It's like a tall rock wall. when you go through this crevice, Amy, you get hit head on with 60 and 70 mile an hour winds.
Whoa!
It's a beautiful view. You can actually stand flat footed and lean forward. It's almost like you jumped out of an airplane.
Wow!
You got to try it. Just ask around and figure that out. But okay. Listen, have a wonderful honeymoon. I love listening to your show, and thanks for letting me take the time to talk to you.
Absolutely, Patrick. Good to hear from you. Thank you. That's super cool. So Diamond Head was on the list, but we've been told you can either drive to it or you like drive up or you can hike. And even if you do go there, you don't necessarily have to hike to be able to see it, but we love to hike. Pearl Harbor and the USS Arizona they've been on my bucket list as long as I can remember. And that is our first stop. So in Hawaii, we get there about 3:30 on Wednesday afternoon, 11-hour flight. Oh man, loaded up with books. We've got a tablet that we're going to download some video / TV shows. We're not sure whether or not our seats will have screens. We think for a flight that long, it might have screens. We may be able to just use the TVs in the back of the seats in front of us. But also, in addition to that flight, and entertainment, we're going to have plenty of snacks, right? Because that's a long time to be in a flight. Oh, and I'm going to have the elbow exercises. Oh, I'm sorry, babe. Were you sleeping? Whoops. I'm making sure I got good circulation here in my arms on this long flight. Yeah. Oh, hey, do you have the snacks in your bag? I mean, he's one of those people who can fall asleep on the couch right in the middle of the most exciting NFL game that's happening. He fell asleep during the playoffs. I love him dearly, but I looked around, the cat's sleeping, the dogs are both sleeping, and he was sleeping. And I'm the only one paying attention to the postseason game on the TV in front of me.
I guess he wasn't excited about it.
I feel like we're an old married couple and it's only been 4.5 months. Anyway, my mom told me that's how it was going to be. So yes, there'll be plenty to do on the flight. We haven't even done our Hawaii itinerary yet. We plan to do it this weekend and we just got kind of buried under some other stuff. But that's mostly my fault, trying to finish up the Syracuse class and blah, blah, blah. But we do have a list of places we want to see. We just haven't put them into an itinerary yet. We're taking a book with us, a travel book, so we can kind of do it on the flight. But when we get there on Wednesday afternoon to Waikiki, and the first sightseeing we'll do is Thursday morning. We've got a 9 a.m. tour at Pearl Harbor. So anybody who's there in Hawaii, you want to come hang out and do a 9 a.m. tour on Thursday morning, May 2nd, we'll see you there. Can't wait. Oh my gosh. I know it's going to be really powerful. I would say as powerful as the 9/11 memorial. And not only have I lived in the New York area for almost 12 years now, but I had been even before I moved here. And every single time I take people to the memorial or I walk through it myself, every single time I visit the museum or go up in the Freedom Tower, it's still powerful and it's still impactful. And I can imagine it's the same at Pearl Harbor. It's a legacy and a part of our American history, catalyst in the war, but also, you know, bittersweet and poignant, and the number of people we lost there. But also the stories of heroism and bravery and courage and odds that were stacked against those ships that were ambushed and bombarded, and those people that were ambushed and bombarded, and yet the fight that you heard, the stories coming out of that incredible honor and bravery there. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's why we're stopping in Honolulu, because I couldn't go all that way and not see Pearl Harbor. And so that'll be first. And then Diamond Head, and pretty soon then we'll be on to the Big Island. He says we're going to wing it. I don't think we're going to wing it. We just haven't quite put together the itinerary yet. My nieces and my brother and sister-in-law have recommended places to eat pancakes and shaved ice. I don't think we're going to subsist on pancakes and shaved ice for 2 weeks. No. No, Jay, you could subsist on that.
I'm
sure that you have. But if anyone has recommendations for places to eat in the Kona/Waikoloa area.
We got Spam McGriddles now.
So here's the thing. When I was a kid, we were forced to eat Spam. A family member loved Spam. My brother and I thought It was the worst tasting food in the history of the world. And the more that we were forced to eat it, the more we felt that gag reflex start to become really active. I don't think I can eat Spam.
I've never had it.
I know people love it. Yeah. Like, there are people who will, they'll testify to it, but I can't.
I've always been very intrigued by it.
Have you never tried it?
I've never tried it.
Oh my
never
gosh, Jay.
Should I try it?
Just because you need to say that you can.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it kind of looks not good to me, but it doesn't look awful. Like, it's got this horrible.
Processed meat in a can.
Right, but it's like, if you need it, like, to live, you could sustain on it, so it can't.
All right, I can eat bugs, too, if I need to to live.
Like, it's trying berries to do a good off a tree. Here, Spam. And it's, we're giving it all this crap, but it's trying to, like, be a good food out here. You know what I mean?
Check the ingredients and then tell me.
No, I don't want to.
It's, yeah. You eat hot dogs, though, so maybe you'd be fine with Spam.
I do.
Jay loves hot dogs. I don't remember the last time I had a hot dog. Although, from last week's Ask Amy Anything, if it was a hot dog with the pierogies.
Right. And, the renegade dog.
Right. The renegade dog in Pittsburgh. I'm all in. I would eat it for that reason.
It was
for that reason.
Cold pork, the pierogies.
Yeah. No, I'm
something
in.
Else.
That's it. You had me at hello. You had me at pierogi.
Spam has 6 ingredients.
Uh-huh.
Pork with ham meat, salt, water, potato starch, sugar, and sodium nitrate.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as it gets.
It's about like a hot dog with a ton of preservatives.
About like a hot dog.
If your hot dog came in a can. Yeah, exactly.
I'll try it one day.
All right. You let me know how that
goes.
I'm
like a bun.
Spam on a bun. I don't think we're, call me crazy, I don't think we'll be visiting any McDonald's while we're in Hawaii.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure that's necessary. I know what they serve at McDonald's.
Well, Spam McGriddles are new.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Indiana by 7. McConnell takes the lane and gives it to Turner, who right in front lines up and with tremendous force slams it with a right hand. Nembhard with it on top. Turner wants to do more damage, and he does. Another 3 from the left edge. The beleaguered Milwaukee Bucks call a timeout. The lead is back up to 14. Now a bounce pass to Halliburton. Halliburton to the foul line, into the corner. Turner is all alone and hits another 3. That's the capper. Pacers are going to win game 4. They're up 17 with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's pretty impressive that without Giannis and without Damian Lillard, and then without a Bobby Portis who got ejected early on after picking up 2 quick technical fouls, somehow the Bucks were able to reel in the Pacers and pull within a couple points in the second half of this game. But ultimately, a whole lot of rain falling for the Pacers from beyond the arc. 22 of 43 from the three-point line. Tyrese Halliburton, 24 points for him, and they're keeping the pedal to the metal.
All year we've struggled when teams miss, you know, their guys, and that's kind of been the story of our season, losing ones that were, you know, quote-unquote supposed to win. And I think that, you know, just looking at this, it could have been, you know, like some call it a trap game of some sorts of, you know, letting your guard down and getting punched.
Miles Turner, too, has been great since the opener. He's been real good. Turner was 7 of 9 in this game from beyond the arc. And so he's even hearing his name get chanted by Pacers fans there. This is a tough sell for the Bucks. Right. The fact that Giannis might not play at all in this series is a real bummer. Dame had injuries, so he was out. And remember when Giannis went down with the calf? That was when we discovered the word soleus. It literally goes back to the weekend of the solar eclipse. That's how long it's been since he's been out. The soleus eclipse of the heart, right? It definitely eclipsed the heart of Giannis as well as Bucks fans who were expecting more, but it's been a crazy year. Portis was ejected with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Again, impressed that the Bucks managed to keep up a push even without that trio of veterans.
I haven't seen the play. I don't even know what happened, to be honest. But that clearly hurt us. There's no doubt about that. And we would have loved them to stay out there.
It's unfortunate what happened, but I thought we competed, you know, the rest of the game. You know, even though he went out, guys stepped up, you know, Andre. You know, he played a hell of a game. AJ, B's, Pat, Jay, Gallo. They all came in and gave valuable minutes.
Portis got a double technical, or got two technicals, after he was in a shoving and yelling match with a member of the Pacers. But even so, the Pacers just had a 3-point lead at the end of the first half. And so they had to work pretty hard. And it was definitely the threes, raining threes, that helped them to kind of put the Bucks in the rearview mirror. I was listening to the fourth quarter on the radio, and you could see, or you could hear them pull away. The Bucks just didn't have enough firepower at some point. And I wonder where the Bucks go from here. The Pacers are going to move on. They're up 3-1. I do not see a rally coming for Milwaukee. Remember, the Bucks had hired Adrian Griffin. They were 30-13 when he got fired. They bring in, or they reestablish, Doc Rivers, who was Griffin's mentor of sorts in that role. The rest of the way, they're essentially a 500 team. Giannis gets hurt. He and Dame never really find that rhythm and flow, although maybe it would be better in year number two. Maybe it will be better. We saw an incredible Dame performance in, was it the opener? Was it game two? And we saw one great playoff game from Dame, but it was inconsistent. The whole season, it's been inconsistent. So where do the Bucks go from here? They ripped it up last year. Do they start all over again? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.